good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, my name is Kern, and welcome to yet another episode of Blessing of Frost. With me, as always, somewhat unfortunately, is the man, the myth, the legend, Magic Marine.
It's less of a myth, I believe. I don't know if it's ever been a myth.
Well, I mean...
The legend I'll give you. I mean, obvious. but past that, I'll take the man as well. I think that accurately portrays me being a man.
Being a man, yes. I kind of like the alliteration of, you know, the mythical Merrymaker Magic Marine.
Well, if you could have an additional title on top of Merrymaker, I thought Matron would have worked up pretty well as well.
That unfortunately counteracts the whole man thing.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah. So with that, we'll move on and introduce our guest. Our guest this week is Toga. He is one of the officers of Apotheosis, and he raids with us as a hunter. His toon's name is actually Hunter Toga, but we all just call him Toga. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Good, good, good. Excellent. Excited for yet another, as you would say, episode of Blessing of Frost. And we will move on into our Lore Master segment. Kern, anything exciting with your week?
Well, because it's been 2 weeks since you were at Digital Overload,
that's true.
It's been a busy couple of weeks for me, and I can't really call her a baby Pally anymore because she's 85 and ready to raid. She's in fact better geared than Madrana was when we started raiding back in January.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that Madrana currently is. I was going to go, wow, that's pretty sad.
That would be really impressive, actually, if I could get my baby Pally to be as geared as Madrana.
I guess impressive is one word for it. Anyway.
So I've done a lot of stuff with the baby Pally, obviously. Like, I dinged 85. I had a bunch of BOEs already, and, you know, outfitted her pretty well. I got a Tsunami deck, all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But possibly the most important thing is she has bracers.
Oh, yeah, out of one of the mystical GZA places.
Actually, no, the bracers out of ZA did not drop, but when I did ZA, but... Eridax, Ingram Batol, finally let me have a pair of his bracers on a tune I could actually use them on.
Wow, lucky you.
And it was like the first time I went into heroic Grim Batol. I had done regular Grim Batol, like an actual run while leveling, and he did not drop bracers, item level 333 bracers. And I was like, oh, this guy hates me. You know, Eridax, you know, 712 and me zero. But I went in, I randomed into a group, and they were on the last boss. The healer had apparently ditched. And I was like, okay, well, that's not a good sign for the group. But if we can get him down, maybe I'll have bracers.
Maybe.
Who knows? And it took a couple of wipes, because apparently they didn't know that you're supposed to kill the adds.
Huh.
Or stand in the eye of the storm thing.
Isn't the rule always kill the adds? That's just, if all else fails, kill the adds.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm like, okay, guys, it's really not a difficult fight. Let's just make sure that we split the DPS and we, you know, burn these guys down and always stand in the eye of the black storm crap, whatever. And they did that. And, you know, once we worked out a couple of bugs, like the tank didn't know he was supposed to be in the eye of the storm with us. Once we figured it all out, he went down without a problem, and he dropped my bracers.
Low and behold.
I was so excited, I can't even express.
Good stuff.
But
finally.
Finally. At long last, vindication is mine, you know?
Well, you can look forward to your third paladin not getting them, don't worry.
Let's see. I also ended up doing one of the troll dungeons. For our listeners out there, I've kind of been waiting for Magic, to basically go into ZG and ZA, because Madge was like a key person in our clearing ZA back in Burning Crusade, and you know, Madge and I spent a lot of time, like, leading in ZG together. So, you know, I wanted to wait for Madge. And, well, he's been a chump. So
a chump?
A chump.
Excuse you.
Not a champ, a chump.
I don't know if I take kindly to those words.
So we just haven't had a chance to go running the dungeons. So the other day, I'm just like hanging out in Guild on the Baby Pally trying to figure out what to do. And Lude, who was a guest of ours a couple weeks back, says, "Boy, I would really like for someone's baby paladin to come heal me in Zul'Aman." I'm like, crap. I really should go. So I went, and I mean, Lude is, you know, a raid-geared tank. He's, like, I know that he knows how to tank. I know that he's got the gear for it. And I'm like, you know, dude, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I didn't run it in BC. Like, I did a couple, you know, tries on the bear boss, and I did, like, a couple tries on, I think it was the eagle boss back in the day. And, like, I don't know anything about the instance at all. He's like, "Look, can you not stand in bad stuff?" And I'm like, "Usually." He's like, "You'll be fine."
Maybe. Okay.
So we go in, and I was definitely a bit undergeared. I mean, like, I was at 346 item level, which is the minimum required for ZA and ZG. But I really felt it as a healer. I was popping Divine Plea on cooldown. I was using all of my, you know, tricks, everything that I could possibly think of, and we got through most of it without an issue, except I was like a little stressed, a little, you know,
just a bit,
but we got to the last guy, Dakara, and like, we just got wrecked, like, three times we got wrecked, until I finally figured out when to use what cooldown and how best to use them. And at that point, it was like, okay, well, I finally got the hang of this. But, like, I was using Guardian of Ancient Kings. I hate my Guardian of Ancient Kings. I refer to him as an angry man. And I was actually, like, using him on cooldown. And that was new for me. I was using, like, everything. I was, like, using a concentration potion. It was dumb how many things I was actually trying, like, had to use in order to get through the encounter. Which is good. I mean, it means that, like, you know, a player who knows what they're doing, even if they're at the bare minimum for the year, can get through it. But, you know, it was definitely one of the more challenging things I've had to do in this game in a long time.
I'm kind of upset that I haven't been able to be in there on those instances, but they seem, I mean, they were introduced to be more challenging than, you know, the current ones. I mean, with the higher eye level, but I don't know. I'm still excited to get in there and experience it for myself.
Yeah, I would definitely do it again. I actually ran into half-finished ZG last night. I show up, I'm at the Temple of Bethek or whatever. The panther boss. That is, like, apparently the boss that breaks up the pugs.
Oof.
It was actually surprisingly simple. I mean, like, none of us really knew the fight. And the tank is like, "Healer, should I just grab one pen of panthers at a time?" I'm like, "That would be great. And if we could get the melee to interrupt the spell she's casting, that would also be great." They're like, "Okay." And it was a little hairy. Right at the phase change, she at 50%, she turns into a panther or whatever. I mean, it was a little hairy, but we did okay. We got through that no problem, and then things went downhill. But we eventually completed the rest of the instance. So we did Zanzil. That's an interesting fight. Very, very neat. I kind of like it. Then we did Jindo over at Hakkar's temple, which was kind of neat. I like was flashing back the whole time. I remember when Togan.
The fight's still similar.
Oh no! But like the instance is exactly the same in terms of the geography. So like when we were going up to Zanzil, who's where Jindo used to be, I'm remembering back when Togan and I were in Fade Heroes and we're like, you know, running through feigning and shadow melding through the trash. And it was beautiful. Good times.
Yes.
So that was essentially my week. I'm ready to raid. I applied to choiceguild.com. So I will be raiding with them part-time, and that should be a good time. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds like a well-used week, in addition to just being horrified and having to raid at a second guild.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. I feel like it's going to be like a mini vacation from running a guild, though. Like, honestly, it feels like it's just going to be a bit of a relief.
Well, there you go, though.
Yep. So, how about you, Togo? What did you do over the last week or so?
Let's see. I farmed a lot. I actually managed to get my paladin to almost 85. Through nothing but mining.
Nice.
And my second hunter, he is now almost 82.
Oh, just from farming?
No, I'm actually questing on him, because I need to get somewhere where I can actually skin something useful.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, so he's your leather worker, or skinner?
Yep.
Cool.
And, yeah, I was kind of shocked, because today, right at the start of the raid, I realized my pants that I got Sunday night, yep, no enchant, no gems. So I tried to craft my own leg armor, and, yeah, nowhere near high enough.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I got trellis to make it, but I figured I need to do something more constructive.
Fair enough, fair enough. It'll be nice to have someone else, you know, who skins. Well, I don't even skin that much on Kern. It's kind of sad. But the Guild Bank can definitely use some leather donations if you're in a farming mood. And it should be noted that Toga is, like, the master.
I was about to say the farm master.
Yeah, he's disgusting. How many Elementium ore did you mine up today, Toga?
1,800.
1,800. That's over 900 bars of Elementium, well, Elementium bars that he donated to the Guild Bank. Just dropped them in there. I'm like, you're kidding, right? And he's like, no. And I'm like, he's got to be kidding. So I log in, I check, and yeah, it's true.
Yeah, pretty much horrifying.
I was pretty bored, so. It's like the one thing in this game that I actually don't mind doing over and over and over.
I remember back in BC, you would like log in from work during slow times and just fly around and herb.
Yeah, they don't like me doing that anymore.
Aww.
That is unfortunate. Those
bastards.
What's wrong with them? Can a man farm in peace at work?
Exactly. Yeah, other than that, I don't do much of anything. I don't do 5-mans. I don't do 10-mans. Just raid and farm.
Have you done the ZGZA dungeons?
No.
We should We should get a bunch of the old Fade heroes together and just go stomp out ZG.
In the face.
In the face, for sure.
Actually, I haven't even done... Well, I haven't finished Blackrock Cavern, so I do not have Cataclysm Dungeon Hero.
Oh, okay, we gotta change that. We gotta fix that. Wait, so are you not a defender of the Shattered World?
I am not.
Toga, why don't you say things? You tell us.
I don't think I am either, actually.
No, that's because you're a failure.
Wow, thank you.
Toga's not a failure, but you are.
Excellent. Very helpful.
So how was your week?
It was okay. It was not WoW-filled for the most part. I mean, I guess I was around for raiding last week, which was not as exciting as it could have been. And then on this past weekend, I was in Baltimore for Digital Overload, the LAN party run by Tim of Control Alt Elite, so that was fun.
Excellent comic, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's It's a good combat. They unfortunately had a lot of internet issues over the whole weekend. It was the first time it's been in Baltimore. I'm there every year, and every other year it's been in Providence, Rhode Island, but not this year. So it was good. I've been doing a lot of arenas and such. I've actually slowed down leveling my Death Knight and getting back into the Pally for a reason or two I'll explain, I guess, in a bit. But I've been doing threes and twos with Merc and Fog. Merc and Fog on the threes and then just Fog on the twos, where the twos is my priest with his Harvey the Paladin. And we add Merc to that and we get our threes. And we have like a 19, I think we were at 1950, but right now we're at like 1920 something on the threes, so that's pretty exciting.
That seems like a very large number.
It's pretty, I mean, I'm pretty happy with it. It's the most, I think, that I've had since playing with PAL back in the twos when arenas like first started happening, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And the other, so the reason I have stopped leveling the DK for the time being is because we want to run next season, I have to start gearing up this season, is to run Pally Death Knight Warrior. So Fog has actually gotten back into leveling his warrior, which I know he wasn't previously doing either. But we figure it's like one of the best comps that exists out there right now, and how much worse could Death Knights really get at this point? So
I don't really...
Threes all in plate are always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Warrior, Death Knight, Pally... Can you explain the logic behind it?
I mean, it's a lot of people wearing plate and just crushing faces. I don't know. It's always been really solid, and they won. I think they won last year's competition as far as threes is concerned.
Hold the phone. Wait a sec. Wait. If you're the Pally, that means that you're going to be healing on the Pally?
That was the end game plan, if we'll remember, of that Paladin, actually.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yes, I've just been tanking to level because it makes the most sense to do that.
Oh, it's so fast. From 68 to 80 on Baby Pally, I was tanking like a champ.
Yeah, it's actually, I just getting to 85 to start doing arenas, I've considered grabbing the shoulders and the helm and such, because I figure why not.
You probably should.
Yeah, I mean, that probably makes sense.
But, wow. So you're going to be healing under duress as a Holy Paladin?
It should be awesome. I mean, the Holy Paladins have such awesome utility as far as, like, bubbles and other things such as that. And it just in addition to just having great survivability, so I'm excited.
You do know that if you get counterspelled like
it
once,
you out of everything.
You're dead, right? Like you can't even bubble.
Well, that's, I mean, there's that issue. Not you don't have that issue entirely with the priest because you have things such as
fear,
right? Fear, psychic scream on not on your holy cooldown. I mean, if it's on cooldown, then you could still just get screwed. But it just it's a lot of practice with like juking and stop casting stuff, so it should be good.
Well, I do wish you the best of luck, and if you find a decent Holy Pally PvP build, let me know, because I do get questions about that over on my blog.
It's fun.
I'm like, blessed life, okay, after that amount.
Blessing of freedom. Very good. That's that. So yeah, that's been the majority of it is arenas.
Good stuff. It's good to see you getting back into that, because I know that you were kind of at a loss once PAL stopped playing.
Yeah, that was sad, and that's definitely one of the main things I actually enjoy in the game is arenas, because it's really skill intensive, and it's never the same twice the same way. That I really enjoy first person shooters because it's not repetitive, you know. It's sort of different than raiding in that you're never going to have... You can't really prepare entirely specifically for each situation. It's always different. Kind of like Heroic ODS, I guess.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk a bit about that arena match you and Fog were having?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That was an interesting arena match where it was a mage and a rogue versus me and Harvey, the paladin, in which the mage and Harvey traded in probably the first minute and a half. And then after that, it's this rogue who, I don't know if he wasn't well geared or if he just wasn't playing correctly. Honestly, I'm not sure because I'm not a rogue full time. My rogue is only level 70. But he just, for the life of him, could not kill me. We went at it for the match ended up lasting 45 minutes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And so I suggested to Fog, since he was dead and he was, I don't know, off doing something that wasn't sitting there, because I was, it kept going where I was attempting to like fear him and then get a res off on Fog, but he always had Sprint Up or he had Cloak of Shadows or not Cloak, goodness, Shadow Step to get the extra. Just, I could not keep him far enough for a long enough time in order to do it. But I said, oh, well, you should go. This actually happened to me in PAL, where I it was me and a resto druid, I believe. And I forget if PAL had the idea or if I did. I said, one of us said, we should go over onto the other server, talk to their teammate, and just roll it out and see if they're willing to do that, because this is such a huge pain in the ass. And so Fog did that. He went over, it was a Horde side PvP server, and talked to them. Said, hey, do you guys want to roll for it? And Fog was a champ, and I believe he rolled a 97. So good going, Fog. You are the champion. And they indeed did bow out like they said that they were going to.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was... Thankfully, by the time we had finished that, it was like 1:30. We were both like, oh, I guess we'll do one more, and then that happened. We weren't too happy about it.
Oh, good times, good times. And I guess we'll move over into Hotfix. The latest posted hotfixes came out last week on the 1st, and one of them in particular caused a bit of an uproar. It's the Goblin Racial Best Deals Anywhere. It should now only be applying to vendors with associated reputations, and no longer incorrectly applies to vendors with no attached reps, nor does it apply to flight path costs, which is a whole thing, whatever. The big thing is that, in addition, it is no longer possible for goblin characters exalted with their guild to receive an extra discount on top of the exalted faction discount from guild vendors.
Huh.
Yeah, lots of goblins are pretty pissed.
Well, you think that was unfair previously?
Well, I mean, it wasn't working as intended, is what the developers are saying. It's like, no, you cannot get over and above and beyond the exalted rep discount. Like, whatever it is, like, anything that they buy from a vendor, they get exalted rep discount, like, even if they're neutral with them or whatever. So they didn't want them to get another, 20% off or 50% off or whatever it is, on top of the exalted discount.
Interesting.
And so goblins are now pissed.
Oh, they're wired.
Yeah, no.
Only because I don't have one.
They're Horde,
so
right?
I don't have to worry about it.
So that was a big thing. Lots of discussion on that on the WoW forums and in various blogs. Then this one made me really sad because I have been doing a lot of archaeology, trying to get the Ring of the Boy Emperor for the Baby Pally, which, by the way, I did get. I was successful in getting that.
Nice.
12-year digs take forever. By the way,
I have not gotten that high on any tomb, so that's good.
So the Bountiful Bags Guild perk should no longer, sometimes incorrectly, reward archaeologists with multiple keystones from dig sites.
That's incorrect, huh?
That was incorrect. I was so sad to read that. I was like, are you kidding me? Because it's rare enough to find a keystone that I feel like it should benefit from Bountiful Bags. I mean, why not, right? I mean, like, you know, ostensibly you helped to get your guild to that level.
guess so, but then, I mean, I guess the prices wouldn't get jacked up too much at this point as far as if, like, lots of people had it. I don't know.
Do you know how much a 12-year keystone is? Do you know? Much? Like, 800 gold a pop.
All right, so then maybe it was overpowered.
Yeah.
Slightly OP.
But, yeah, so I was pretty sad about that, but I do understand.
Like it had to be done.
Yeah, and I guess that's true, but still.
Oh, well.
Annoying.
Looks like here, the ability for players to retain a second queue for a battleground after they've already entered one has been removed. As in, you used to be able to queue for two, have one pop, go into the second, and then decide if you wanted to stay in that one, and you can't do that anymore.
So when you actually join the battleground that you choose to join, that's it. That's the one you're in. You can't, like, leave because, like, AV popped or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I didn't think it was being too overpowered.
Well, yeah, but as the patch note says, it solves the design issue in that the old system gave players an opening to abandon their teammates if things weren't going as well as they'd hoped.
Right. Well, teammates are terrible. It's okay.
Well, okay, look, if you're in a Warsong Gulch and you are down, like, two flags to none and they're turtling just to farm HKs, that's a great time to, like, jump ship and go to AV, whatever.
That seems like a reasonable reason to drop.
Yeah, you get out of the really bad situation without getting your deserter debuff or whatever.
Right, and if you're getting stuck into something where you wouldn't have wanted to be put in, you know, a half-finished or a three-quarter-finished dungeon in the first place, then, like you said, no deserter buff, and you actually get to do what you want to do, which I figure is probably what they are going for with the game in general. I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess that those days are over. I do remember hopping BGs back when I used to do BGs. So that's
a short period of time, I assume.
It was back in frickin' vanilla. I did BGs all through my leveling on Kern, and at 60, like, I got to Knight Captain.
Knight Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Considering I don't BG at all now, yeah, it's pretty sweet to be able to slap that title on.
Well, I guess that's true. Although, there's no way to discern the old title from the new title, is there?
Right, so it's just like, wow, that Kern, check that out, Knight Captain, that's pretty hot.
So you're fooling everybody.
Not that I actually wear it, no. I tend to use, like, right now I think I'm using Assistant Professor or Associate Professor.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty cool title as well.
I'm such a title whore. I really am.
Big fan of the titles, huh?
Love them.
Titles are pretty cool.
I really want a really sweet title for Kern, in addition to, like, you know, the sweet titles that Madrona's going to be getting. Like, already she's Defender of a Shattered World. And so, yeah, you guys took a match. Figure out what dungeons you're missing. We'll go do them, like, this week. Knock them out. Make sure you get your Defenders.
Grimbatol.
Okay, so we'll do Grimbatol for you.
that's it.
And
Monza Blackrock Caverns.
And really? Blackrock Caverns for Doga.
Huh. That's did you just never run it that much when you were, or do any dungeons when you were lower level?
No. Well, see, this was all before we even started raiding. I haven't run a five man since we started raiding. So it was just really, really bad pugs, and we would get to the next to last boss, I think it is, the one with the dogs.
Oh, right. Beauty.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's pretty much where everybody would just say, yep, I'm done. Or I had to leave because, I didn't want to stay.
You had to leave because you didn't want to stay. I like that. That's good. And we'll move over into / raid. Over the last couple of weeks, not this last week, but the week before was pretty poor.
Not a great raid week.
Remember how we were talking about how Stony and Big Crits were having a lot of trouble with Heroic Magma before the nerf? Yeah, we sort of encountered that kind of pain, not last week, but the week before. It was just brutal. We only had two raid nights due to the American Memorial Day holiday. So we were trying to get through and repeat Heroic Magma, repeat Heroic Atromedes, and we didn't succeed at either. That was not a good raid week. But I think we made up for it because we walked in this past Tuesday and we one-shotted Heroic Magma, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and it only took like three tries to get Heroic Atromedes down again, so I think we more than made up for it. We even started making attempts on Heroic Conclave, which, can I just say, is one heck of a fight.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting ordeal.
Yeah. Apart from, you know, having to juggle the stacks of Slacing Gale on Rohash's platform and the Windchill stacks on Nazir's platform, there's just so much movement involved and so many like things are happening all at once. And what sucks is that one logger cannot log everything, because Blizzard's maximum range for the combat log is 200 yards. So if, you know, I'm having Jasila, who by the way made it to Raider, so congratulations.
Yay,
to her.
Congratulations.
Yay. I've had her over on Rohash and Nazir while I and Dayton were on Anshal and Nazir. So she's got the Rohash stuff and we've got the Nazir, the Anshal stuff. And if you look at them both, you can sort of figure out what happened on any given attempt. But boy, that's not fun.
Not quite.
But that said, we spent our entire raid night there last night on Sunday night, and we did a really good job, I think, in figuring out certain issues and making some progress. And I think we got through two ultimates at the most, which isn't like a lot, but considering we weren't making it to the first ultimate on like Thursday, I think that's some nice progress right there.
Step in the correct direction.
Yeah, and having Toga misdirect stuff to our DK Kiter is apparently a really big help.
Yeah.
That's sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, we learned that frost traps are a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just poor.
That was really good. Sean L was our DK Kiter last night, and none of us could figure out why the ads were like speeding up on him again, and why his frost fever, I think it is, was not lasting long enough to keep them slowed down. And he's like, well, I think it's happening when they're going over the frost traps, which means that's replacing my debuff. Because they don't stack. And it's like, oh, okay, traps are bad. Misdirects are good. Okay, got it. Thanks.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and at this point, progression at 5 of 13, you can really realistically look at Heroic Conclave, Heroic ODS, or Heroic Valion and Thralion. And we've made pulls on all of those now, and I think Conclave is probably the one that we're closest to getting. And that would be sweet, because that would be, at this point at any rate, a server-first 25-man Heroic Conclave kill. And we haven't had a server-first, a recognized server-first yet, I don't think, so that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I would certainly. I mean, we made some good progress, and I think that we'll be doing well on that in the weeks to come. Or week.
Yeah, yeah. What's this week's business? We're going to totally do that this week.
Yeah, we will finish them off this week. And maybe even take out, Frog VT.
Yes, yeah, that is a great
this
plan.
Week.
I'm feeling we're going to be eating our words next week, Madge.
Well, no, never. We'll be chowing down on Dragon Hearts.
Sweet.
That's what we'll be doing. Good. Delicious.
Good plan.
All right, and with that, we'll move on into our guild tab, where we ask our friend Toga here a few questions about his tune and some other WoW-related stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about your tune's history?
Well, he has almost 250 days played And that's only on him. Agate's got, I think, 60-something. I created him, let's see, it would have been November 2005. I don't know, it was a long time ago. Very long time ago. Let's see, I got joined Fated Heroes when I was in my early 40s, and I was in Wetlands, and it was awesome, because I think it was Cut and I think it was EGOP. They were carrying on in Guild Chat. It's a very nice environment, and yeah. And well, let's see. Then that fell apart, and Burning Crusade came out. And let's see. What else did we do? We made Apotheosis, which was awesome. And then that fell apart, and then went Horde side, which we won't discuss.
No, hold. I sense some revisionist history. No. Togo went Horde before Apotheosis fell apart in Wrath.
Okay, yes. Slightly, yeah. It was only like a month, maybe. And it was
totally
before we started raiding. Well, officially raiding. I think we were doing... Maybe we were doing 25 next. I don't remember.
You were gone before we set foot in the 25-man max, for sure.
Okay, it may have been 10-man then.
Yeah, I think you showed up for a couple of 10s.
Yeah. Lessons learned. Don't follow the inbreds anywhere. Because they ditched me like a month and a half later. So I raided through Old War without them, and then after that, I don't know. I just got really tired and stopped playing for like 5 months. Then I came back.
Then we pull you in for like Lich King.
Which was awesome.
Good stuff. Lich King was a lot of fun.
Yeah, except for Defile.
Except for Defile. Okay. Well, what would you say your favorite memory is from all of that time playing?
Oh, man. Probably all the points I just touched on. Like, the most memorable was definitely when I joined Fated Heroes. Of course, when we created Apotheosis both times. And, yeah, pretty much those.
Yeah, that's cool.
Although, actually, my first raid, it was right when I hit 60. The same night I got to go into ZG for the first time. And that was awesome.
You know?
And, of course, you know, the Gates of the Queue opening event, that was pretty awesome, too.
I remember anticipating you dinging 60 and being like, oh, sweet, we can bring Togo with us to ZG.
That was a fun time.
I loved ZG. That was such a great instance.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was the best. all right. I guess it's kind of a... I guess this question could sort of apply, which is why you joined Apotheosis, but I think you may have signed the charter.
I did.
So, I guess you could give the reason as to why you signed the charter.
Because chillin' was not that awesome.
It wasn't as chillin' as Fog would hope it was.
Oh, no. I mean, it was chillin', but it was just too low-key.
Gotcha.
No, actually, the main reason, you know, I really liked everybody from Fated Heroes, and once we got the idea to recreate it, us jumped on board.
Good answer.
Yes. Yes, great answer.
And fell for the trap of becoming Guildmaster.
That was awesome. I couldn't believe he was like, sure, yeah, I'll do it.
Never again.
Yeah, big mistake.
Yeah, no, he has, however, learned his lesson, and despite...
He's too smart for it.
Despite my pleas to him to please take the guild from me, he won't do it.
Nope.
Jackass.
I said he's too smart for that job now.
Yep. Unlike me, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be serious here.
Alright, let's see. What do you like to do in-game besides raiding? That clearly farming is part of your repertoire.
Yeah, just a little bit. That's a really good question. I guess playing on my Paladin He's the only character I like doing five mans on, so I usually, although I haven't done any on him, because he's just now 84, so. Other than that, not much of anything, just farming.
I gotta say, though, you are a champ at farming. Like, if it were not for Toga, Magic never would have been able to power level Inscryption on his scribe for the guild.
Oh,
Toga,
yeah,
obviously never would have maxed out his alchemy. Like, I mean, you know, the farming that Toga did in Twilight Highlands when the spawns were bugged and there was Twilight Jasmine everywhere all of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Heart Blossom and Deep Home everywhere. Like, I mean, Toga is the man. I can't tell you how long it took Madge to, like, mill all of those herbs.
Yeah, forever, which is awesome.
It was really fantastic. Like, I was thinking about that the other day while I was trying to power level my Inscryption on the Baby Pally, and I'm like, damn, if only we still had those bugged out spawns, and if only I had Toga,
had Toga
to farm for me.
Yeah. See, you're not so
I can't even find them anymore. Like, there's no Twilight Jasmine. Everybody farms it.
Yeah, it's rough. Whiptail is apparently much easier to get.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
Nice.
Alrighty, our quirky question here comes from Fog, actually. And even though I understand the reasoning myself, my brother would like to know, what on earth possessed you to name a tune Agate?
Oh, God. Okay, not a lot of thought process went into it, as you can imagine with my main name, Hunter Toga. But this is only because some gas is still level 40 with Toga, so. Yeah, it was just Toga backwards, and I was like, oh, you know, it works, but it was supposed to be Agot, but it just kind of turned into Agate, and yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not this name. I haven't been reported yet, so.
Oh, that did amuse me, because, like, I always thought it was Agot as well, until I somebody pronounced it Agate, and I'm like, oh, that's just unfortunate.
Yes, but there is only one G, so, you know, I'm not too offensive, I guess.
That is true, that is true. And, of course, I would like to point out that this is coming from the Fog, which is just one letter away from a very similar pejorative term, so.
Wow.
According to him, back in the day, Cut would, you know, make use of that letter swap out quite a lot.
Yeah, he's done that to my name a couple of times as well. With Madge.
Oh, God.
He has a propensity to that kind of thing.
He's very, I mean, we love Cut to death, but he is quite the offensive person at times.
Yes.
And with that, we'll move into our general chat. And our subject this week is dynamic raid decisions, which is basically a fancy way to say what the hell to do at any given point in time in a raid when something
very
is going
fancy.
Hideously wrong. pretty much.
There's plenty of things that can do that.
Oh, geez, yes. It's sort of a point of contention. It's like, at what point in time during a raid encounter do you call a wipe? I mean, is it when the tank dies? Is it when, you know, five healers are dead? Is it when literally half your raid is dead? Like, and at what point in the sequence of the fight do you do it? Like, you know, these are like burning questions that raiders especially have. It's like, well, do I keep going? Do I keep healing? Like, what do I do? And so a lot of pressure is on the raiders, or the raid leaders, rather, to figure out, you know, in a timely fashion, when to call that wipe.
Yeah, it's kind of critical, because the timing, you know, it depending on how quickly you call it can determine the tempo of your raid.
Definitely. Like, I mean, if you have a lot of unsuccessful attempts where you're you know, calling for the wipe really early on, that can be a little bit demoralizing because you're only seeing the first like 90 seconds of the fight. But at the same time, is it really worth it to keep pushing if you know for a fact that you're not going to actually, you know, get through that phase or get through that part of the encounter? It's sort of a touchy decision. And I think one of the big issues that people have is that people aren't decisive enough. And like, we are definitely guilty of that. It really takes a lot of acclimation to the fight. You have to know exactly what is going on at any given point in order to make that educated guess.
Yeah, because you never know if it's correct.
And it really is a guess. Yeah, that's exactly it. I remember when we reformed Apotheosis before Cataclysm actually came out, we were we were over in ICC 25 man heroic playing with Rotface just because it's one of the easier encounters, and I figured that we could do this. And at one point, I think it was Dayton who was tanking for us. He died, and so that was bad, right?
Yes,
but
that is bad.
But I don't know what happened. We somehow like made sure to pull it off. Like, I mean, like all the healers were up, a couple DPS were dead, and Dayton was dead. And Dayton is like, ugh, that's a wipe. They're like, no, wait, it's not yet. And we pulled it off. I mean, granted, I think six people were up at the very end, if that many. But I mean, you know, had we gone with the wipe when Dayton had called it, then, you know, our subsequent attempts might have been cleaner, but fact remains, we got him down on that attempt. So, I mean, you never really know what your group can actually pull off, you know, even if things go south. I mean, if people aren't being splatted all across, you know, the floor of the room, you generally have a chance to see something new or to get a kill, I find.
Was it, we did, it was a TOC where I think like six people died against, I didn't run it too often, only like that one time. Six people died out of 10 against that boss where he charges, and then four people finished it off over like 20 minutes or something. He didn't have enrage.
Yeah, Trial of the Crusader, regular mode, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. There was 10 of us, all on ults or under gear, whatever, half pug, and we were on the Northrend Beasts. And I forget his name, Ice Howl, I think it is. He just like murdered the like half the raid, like six of us or whatever, and four of us finished it off. I think I think I got to blow Heroism because I was on my Chamois. I'm pretty sure I got to blow that twice.
Yeah. So. Now, there's the other side of that coin, though, is the attempt where you don't think you're going to make it. You start to do it, and you're like, oh, wait, maybe I can. And then 10 minutes later, you wipe, or 15 minutes later, because it's that close, you wipe. And then you're wasting, you know, X number of minutes on an attempt that probably wasn't going to work in the first place to you know, fail at that attempt.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that raid leaders have to be really aware of in terms of, you know, how much time is left in their raid, how tired their raiders are. Like, would it really harm the raid just to see what would happen? And what I personally like to do in that sort of a situation is I'll generally call it if it's early enough in the fight. That I don't think it's really feasible for us to finish. But if we're like learning the fight, I'll encourage people to just like practice on the mechanics, like Atromedes with the sound, right? Like, I mean, even if, say, Toga dies, who is our gong ringer, and it's very hard for us to recover if Toga is dead, then like just keep practicing dodging the discs, because that's something that everybody needs practice on.
True. But at the same time, you don't want to spend too much time just dodging discs on an attempt where you're definitely not going to down them. So it's kind of a weird balance. And it's always rough because maybe you're like, well, in retrospect, we probably could have kept that up, or we should have wiped it. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
The good thing about hindsight is you bring that with you on every single attempt. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like being in an arena match where, you know, you then realize what mistake you made that got you killed. And then you're like, okay, well, if we encounter a comp like that again, then this is what not to do. And so, I mean, that's the thing about the arena, is that it's very dynamic. And I think that the same can be said for certain raid encounters where, like, Heroic ODS, that's going to be a very dynamic fight. I'm not really looking forward to it.
I enjoy it.
Well, then, I guess you're getting me in charge of that fight then, right?
Oh, boy. So it's rough, because even though you think that maybe someone made the wrong call, you just have to make the right call at the time and don't look back.
Yeah, and just learn from it. If it was the wrong call, then, you know, cop to it and move on and don't make that call again.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of the things that throws a twist into, you know, is this a wipe or not, is the in-combat resurrection, or the battle res.
Yes, which has gotten even weirder since the expansion, I guess.
Yeah, because now you've got druids, which have always had rebirth, right? But now you've got warlocks who can soul stone a dead person and bring them back to life. Like, that would have been really handy on Asgore back in Hyjal. He was the dude who would, like, blow you up, and we would, like, soul stone on the fly.
Exactly. Well, now you don't quite have to anymore.
No. Exactly. Like, now we don't have to do that. But, and then you've got also Death Knights who can battle res, which is just, wow. Okay. Sure. Cool.
I mean, I guess the fact that you only have a certain number of them, it was what counteracts their reasoning for giving everybody one.
Yeah, exactly. On 25 man, you have a limit of 3 in-combat resurrections, and that counts a shaman's reincarnation as well. So you not only have to keep track in your head when you're trying to call out battle reses and stuff of how many you have used and how many you have left available to you, but you know, is this someone that you want to pop a BR on in order to finish the encounter? Like, can you finish the encounter without battle resing this person? And even if you do battle res that person, like if it's a tank, can that person then regain aggro or continue doing their job that they were doing? Like, if on a single tank encounter the tank dies, I'm just going to call a wipe, because, you know, by the point that the tank gets back up, then, you know,
probably
half the DPS
shot
is
face.
Dead. Well, at least
or punched
two.
In the face.
Punched in the face, eaten fire to the face, you know, all kinds of stuff to the face.
Melee DPS are going to have higher threat just because of the whole threat level thing, so he'll just turn around and punch somebody in the face.
Exactly. So so a single tank encounter, probably not worth it if it's the tank. But what about a multiple tank encounter situation like Chimeron? If the break tank goes down during a double attack for whatever reason, you can pop him up and recover quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, that really does matter from encounter to encounter, where it's the flow of the fight isn't really, you know, fully interrupted when your third tank dies, or, you know. Unfortunately, in a multi-tank fight where you're talking like Throne or Conclave, it's sort of the opposite. If you have the key person go down, which is the ad kite person, it's pretty much just over.
Right, on Conclave for sure, but on Heroic Magma, not so much. We have actually lost Shaunel, our typical DK kiter, on Heroic Magma, and then rezzed him quickly enough that he was then able to recover and get the ads back on him.
That's because they don't pulse death AoE, I guess, on that one. But I mean, again, it ranges so much from encounter to encounter that all you can do is make the right call that you think at the time and see where it gets you.
It's true. And again, I really have to emphasize that one of the best ways to combat that sort of, I don't know, sort of feeling is to just really be well aware of what's happening in the fight. I've got, the officers of Pavios have basically gotten all of the raiders to start using Aura, ORA3, and it shows us cooldowns and stuff. And so I can see at any given moment who has used their Soul Stone, used their Raze Ally, used their Rebirth, what healer cooldowns are remaining, what tank cooldowns are remaining. Like, I just, like, you know, it's fantastic to be able to make informed decisions like that, because there was so much time that was wasted by us by asking for a battle res on somebody and not knowing, you know, if that battle res was up or not. And then, you know, the Resto Druid or the Feral Druid or, you know, the Death Knight said, oh, sorry, it's down. It's like, oh, okay, then you, next person, you do it. So it's really important to know what your raid is using in terms of their cooldowns, when they're using it, and how they're using it. We have a sort of a strict policy that nobody is allowed to BR anybody or Ankh or anything without basically asking. You need to wait for us to call it out. Of course, then the pressure's on us. It's like, well, do we call it out? Do we save it? What do we do?
And I think this is another place where if you're questioning it, then you should probably, as an officer, as someone who has to make that kind of decision, if you're questioning it, just, you know, do it, because unless it is a critical, like, tank kind of ordeal, in which maybe you are trying to hold it, but if it's that big of a question, you probably just want to make the call and, you know, live and learn, because there's a good possibility that maybe you're going to wipe if it's not, or if you think it's going to be close, then you can hit the DPS and get them up. It's better to make a decision than to not make a decision and waste having a battle res.
Yeah, it's true. On Chimeron in particular, I like to wait until maybe the second feud before popping anybody up, unless it's a tank or a healer. So, you know, if a DPS dies, they get to eat floor for a little bit, I think, because at that point you've then gotten to like the halfway point of the fight, and if nothing has happened to the tanks or healers at that point, chances are nothing will. But, or at least in my experience, like, all of the problems we've ever had with Chimeron were, you know, in the first couple of feuds. But if we can get through that, then, you know, we can sort of afford to use a battle res on a DPS.
Right. I mean, it makes sense that you would just kind of use what the flow of the fight as a gauge to determine whether or not it's going to be worth DPSing. I mean, resing a DPS is always probably your last, you know, the least way you want to use a battle res, depending on if you're, like, almost in a burn phase or not. That's probably just about the only time that you're immediately like, well, let's get a DPS up right now.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Toga, I know that you've had some unfortunate luck, shall we say, on Chimeron in particular. How do you feel about eating floor for most of that fight? Through no fault of your own.
Yeah. It's not very fun. But it's usually, I mean, this wonderful RNG, you know, where three or four people or everybody in your group gets hit, and your healer just has to make a dynamic decision. Who do I heal first?
That's an excellent call. Yeah, healers are often called upon to make those life or death choices, and unfortunately, if you're a DPS, chances are you're going to die.
Yes.
I mean,
that is a pretty good percentage.
I mean, it's true, but you know what? It's something that's really helped me out in my decision making is the mages with cauterize.
Well, like, cauterize is offers options, which is really nice for both the mage and for healers.
I can, like, let magic take that killing blow and just heal him, like, later, because he'll generally be still alive due to cauterize, right. And then I'll be able to heal him through the damage. I did make all the healers put cauterize on their raid frames So all the mages in our guild who are all fire all have cauterized now, and they live a lot because of that particular talent.
Yeah. I mean, healers can use it as, you know, oh, okay, I'm trying to heal Chimeron, and I can't splash this heal to everyone. I can make the decision not to heal the mage, let them take that killing blow and get to them a second later, whereas, you know, you can't let the hunter die because they're just going to die.
And nobody really wants to see Toga eating floor.
And everyone would rather not heal me. So it works out for everybody.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's nice.
Oh, man. Speaking of DPS, though, regarding the two of you, Heroism, Bloodlust, Time Warp, Ancient Hysteria, which, by the way, sounds exactly like Bloodlust. Did you know that?
Yes. Ancient Hysteria. Yeah, that is very bloodlusty.
I did not know that. I got Ancient Hysteria'd this week in an instance with a five-man with a hunter, I guess, who's Beast Mastery, and I was just, like, astounded that it sounds just like Bloodlust. And I'm like, no, I do not want to be bloodlusted, thank you very kindly.
Then again, it isn't Bloodlust.
But it sounds like it. That's the important thing. Heroism is just like this charge, this like, yeah, this rallying cry. And Bloodlust is like, I'm very cranky now.
An interesting way of looking at it.
I'm so diehard Alliance. But anyway, the point of that is to talk about the timing of Heroism, Bloodlust, Time Warp, or Ancient Hysteria.
Well, I mean, most of the time, you're going to want to pop it during what's likely all of your DPS's burn phase, right around 35%.
Well, that's...
Well, most of the time. That's the ideal time to use it, is if you have a straight burn phase in the last 35%. Now, a lot of times, you won't.
Is it 35%, though? Because, I mean, Hunter's kill shot's at 20%.
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends from class to class. For me, it's 35%.
For you, it's 35 with your molten, fiery something hacks.
I say, are you done going through what you believe it's called?
I have no idea what it's called.
It's called Molten Fury.
Ah, there you go.
Yes.
It is Molten Fire of hacks. There you go.
So Molten Fury begins at 35. Hunters, you said, is 20.
Yeah, and I believe warriors execute. Well, they've got a weird talent, I think, that allows them to execute more frequently, but their execute is constantly up after 20%.
Yeah, it's kind of like Paladin.
Yeah, Avenging Wrath. Or no, not Avenging Wrath, Hammer of Wrath. Jeez.
Yeah.
Hammer of Wrath is up constantly after
20.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's why we decided that our hero on Nefarian was going to be at 25%.
Right.
To benefit everybody most.
Yeah. So that's your ideal use of heroism. Now, there's a lot of reasons where reasons why you may not want to. In fact, how many fights do we do right now where we pop hero at the beginning? Is it two or three?
At least two.
Yeah, I can think of Atromedes and Halphus that we currently pop it at the beginning. And actually, on Atromedes, we used to pop it at the beginning, and then we went back to popping it at the end. And then learning on Heroic again, we pop it at the beginning again.
Yeah.
ODS depends too.
Oh, yeah. That is really... we keep saying that it's a dynamic fight, but on the Tron Defense System, on Heroic, seems to be the most dynamic, changing fight in the entire game right now.
Yeah, it's got so many different factors built in, and it's so weird because it can have... I forget, someone did the math to figure out how many combinations it was that you can have. But there's so many different incarnations of the fight that you can have that it's tough to plan for exactly where somebody's going to want to stand at any given point and, you know, use heroism. I mean, even on normal mode, heroism is really dynamic on that fight as well because you want to try and pair it where you've got a good pool, and if you can, use it against Toxie who's standing in some sort of poison.
Yeah, that is your ideal time on the Tron. But, like, how... You have to have, you know, Arcanotron and Toxtron up, one right after the other, basically, in order to make use of all of that stuff, which doesn't always happen. So sometimes you'll just have to deal with just the, Arcano's Puddle or just Toxtron's Poison. But yeah, that's definitely a, I would like to call it now, but I may not be able to, sort of fight.
Yeah. Again, it's just one of many more things where if you think you should, then you may as well. And it's really crappy with the heroic version just because of, you may think you're getting like a decent pool to stand in and then it's going to explode and you lose all that DPS from people running away.
Yeah, ideally you want to make sure that when you use heroism, the majority of your raid is alive and able to DPS or heal or what have you. And you really do want to take advantage of those execute ranges, like 35%, 20%, whatever. So in doing so, it really enables you to finish out the fight quickly. Like on Magma, on regular, we tended to pop it just on a clean head phase, because on regular we kill the lava parasites. We don't kite them, but it becomes slightly difficult to do that sort of thing on heroic, because we are kiting adds and we don't want to waste hero in the early phases, because it needs to be up for phase two. Phase two is like a straight up burn phase. You just gotta go all out, and like making these decisions is not always like it's not always evident when you're laying out the strat. It's like, okay, don't stand in this, don't stand in that, this is gonna happen. And it's like, ooh, where do we put in heroism, you know, like where do we do that?
The Magma fight is at least it's a little more well defined, just because you know you need it for phase two with the amount that you're burning. It's sort of the same thing with, what is it, with Meloriac and with Chimeron.
Yeah.
So it's less of a question. You can't really, there's no other point in the fight where you can individually pinpoint and say, okay, well, heroism would help us get past this and then, you know, be able to finish out the fight. Whereas in Helphus, it allows our healers to, you know, keep our tanks alive where they're taking the most damage right in the beginning of the fight. And on Atromedes, it allows us to get in the most damage with the most number of people alive.
Yeah, and that still is a strictly while we're learning thing. Like, even though we've gotten him down a couple of times now, I'm not going to be comfortable moving heroism away from the start for, you know, a couple more resets, I don't think. Just to make sure that people don't, you know, accumulate too much sound and die.
Yes, well, sound is a bad thing.
Sound is a horrible thing. Who ever thought up this stupid fight anyway?
I don't know. Same people who thought up Corruption on Cho'Gall.
Also very poor.
Yep. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say on a tangent that there's an achievement to kill Cho'Gall with no one in your raid having more than 30% Corruption.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you just have to, in phase two, do you just have to burn them down insanely fast with no one getting any corruption in phase one?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty straightforward, at least.
Yeah, it's just not, you know, easy.
Well, no one promised it would be easy.
That's true.
Isn't that the idea?
Yeah, otherwise I guess it wouldn't be an achievement.
True enough. And with that, we'll move on into our shoutouts. Karn, do you have any shoutouts this week?
You know, surprisingly, I do have shoutouts this week. My shoutout is to any player who knows how to break Osric's Paralyze in Heroic Stone Core. I love you people. I'm talking about the hunter who knows to bring a Sulfuron Slammer and knows when to drink it. I'm talking about the Pally who knows how to judge, exactly when to judge, to get the bleed, to break the paralyze. I'm talking about, you know, all the casters who actually dot him up when his shield is up so it gets reflected back to them. And I'm also talking to the healers who know enough not to dispel that stuff. All of you people, I love you and you are awesome. However,
there's always a but.
There is a non-shout-out to those morons who do not even know to run out of Ozric's Shatter or his Ground Slam. And a special, hey, you suck, to the tanks who aim Ozric's Ground Slam at the group. Thanks, tanks. That really, really makes my day as your healer.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
That was spectacular.
It's pretty sad. It's so easy to avoid. How does that happen?
They just, like, turn it and turn him and face him at you, and then you eat it. You eat the whole stupid Ground Slam thing. The Shatter thing, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a Death Knight, a Rogue, a Hunter just stand there, a Ret Pally just stand there, and then get flattened by it.
Wow.
It's like an obvious, you know, visual effect.
Circle. Even it stops.
Even on my old computer, it was so obvious to me. Like, I could see the demarcation line, you know, and people still stand in it, so I don't get it.
Hooray!
So a non-shout-out to them, and a huge shout-out to those of you who do know how to do that fight appropriately, so thank you.
Nice. Toga, do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do. My shout-out goes to my cousin Kristen Mills and her husband Jeff Mills on their new baby girl.
Yay!
Elsa Madison Mills. She was born, sad to say, I don't remember, Tuesday? When was June 1st? Is that Tuesday?
That was a Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. Yeah. She was born last Wednesday, and she weighed 8 pounds 1 ounce.
Congratulations.
Wow, very nice.
My shout-out this week is to Mark and Less So Fog, because he's terrible, but it's been awesome arenaing, and I may have even given a shout out before, but I don't care because I love arenas and huge ratings, so fantastic.
Fair enough.
Our tip of the week this week is be decisive. Whether you think you're going to make the right call, well, you should hopefully think you're going to make the right call, or if you do actually end up making the wrong call, just make a call, because making no call is usually the bad one.
Absolutely. Be decisive in your decisions.
Exactly. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com and let us know what you thought. You can follow us, Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. Follow at ApotheosisET and at KernMode. Leave comments, write us up on iTunes. Toga, thanks for joining us today. Do you have any anything you'd like to pimp out, websites, blogs, or the like?
No, not really.
Okay. Well,
you can.
Oh, yes, you can.
However, follow Toga's girlfriend, another raider in Apotheosis, at Camilla_of_ET.
Does she have a blog as well?
She was blogging, but she's decided to stop blogging and just focus on Twitter and insulting Tia.
Excellent. Well, I guess that's a hobby on its own, I guess.
Yes.
I guess that brings us to the end of our, 22nd episode, correct?
Yes, sir.
Of Blessing of Frost. I'm Magic.
And I'm Toby.
And I'm Kern.
And until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.